The reference in this verse is certainly in the context to the restoration of the Jews through the instrumentality of Cyrus long ago. It's referring to people who had spent so long away from their homeland and in bondage and away from everything that was familiar to them. And perhaps there was that thought in their mind, no doubt there was, that things will never really change for them. But the prophecy in God's word regarding those people was fulfilled, and very accurately fulfilled at that. Now, you will have noticed there in this verse 13 that we see words that tell us about the blowing of the trumpet. And therefore, the blowing of the trumpet is obviously associated with the coming out of captivity and the sense of freedom and the joy and the gladness and all of the other emotions that would be involved with being free at last. Trumpets were used in olden times sometimes to rouse people to action. On other occasions, they were used to announce the awful onset of a battle. And on yet other occasions, it was the trumpet that proclaimed victory. The trumpet's chief use, perhaps, was to really do what the human voice could not do. And it was to either give warnings or invitations as far and wide as possible, to ensure that as many as was possible could hear what the warning was, or could receive instruction in some way through listening to the trumpet. And that very, very briefly is the immediate context of the trumpet here and its use many years ago. There is, however, a very strong description of the gospel call here. A strong description of God's call in the gospel to undeserving man, maybe to careless man, and to man who perhaps at this moment in time, and women, are not really bothered regarding the things of eternity, the things that really matter most. And it refers, surely, when we apply it in the gospel, to that call and to the coming of some to faith in Christ. It says there, "And they shall come which are ready to perish." And I asked you the question tonight, I wonder, will you be one of those who will come? Will you be done with the avoiding the issue? Speaking to a young man one night on the doors in Lower Ballinderry, 6 or 7 years ago, when I was on outreach, and he was very willing to talk. And when we got round to the gospel and talked about being saved, he just smiled. He says, "Well," he says, "it wouldn't be a priority at the minute. And for so many people, it is not a priority." I wonder, will you prioritize it tonight? No more avoiding the issue. No more excuses. And men and women, no more darkness. We're speaking tonight to and about men and women who are in captivity, who are in a situation, perhaps, that they think will never change. They are in the prison house of sin, a prison from which only Christ can set you free. And I've given a title to the message tonight, "Free at Last." I trust that the Lord will use it to speak in an appropriate way to your heart this evening. I want you to notice, as we consider "Free at Last," notice here the attention sought. Do you see what it says there? That the trumpet is going to be blown. The thought there is of sound, and the trumpet was blown to arrest the attention of people wherever they were. Some would be out tending to the flocks, others to the crops in the fields. People may be somewhere in some particular circumstance with their family. Wherever they were, the trumpet was blown, as we mentioned earlier, to reach out to as many of them as possible and to get their attention. And folks, that is what the gospel does precisely. Its design is to get your attention and to have you stop whatever your line of thought might be at this present time, to get your attention to the vital, important matter of your soul. And the gospel, as a trumpet, it announces the grace of God to man. It announces God's love to a perishing world, and full and free salvation to every repenting, believing sinner. If you turn with me there to Luke's Gospel in chapter 4, just over in Luke's Gospel chapter 4, we're looking here at the attention sought. These words, of course, were found in Isaiah, but that's where they're from. In verse 17 of Luke 4 it says, "And there was delivered unto him a book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.'" You see the word "bruised" there at the end of verse 18. We've already noted in that verse about the poor, meaning those who are without spiritual life, the brokenhearted. That's all sin ever does. It breaks your heart, leaves you empty. Delivering to the captives. We mentioned the prison house. There's no way around the fact tonight that that's where the unconverted man or woman is. And the blind. Read lots about that in the Bible. How the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not. But notice the word "bruised." That word "bruised" at the very end of the verse literally means, if you were to look at it in Greek, it means to break in pieces. And sinner tonight, is that not what sin has done and is doing with you? To break in pieces that there's no cohesion, and therefore no real stability in life. And folks, that is how it is with unsaved men and women. They are bruised. There are those that, in effect, are broken in pieces. They have no claim to righteousness. No doubt you don't make any claim tonight, but I'm just stating the fact. They have no comfort. It's very hard when you're talking to an unsaved person and perhaps they're in tears and life hasn't been what they expected it to be. And in some ways they're at the end of themselves and they really do need the comfort that Christ can bring. And yet there is a stumbling block somewhere and a reluctance to let go of their sin and to avail themselves of all that the Savior has purchased for them. And they leave your conversation still with no comfort. I hope you don't leave like that tonight. No claim to righteousness, no comfort, no confidence. In my lifetime, I've never seen so many people afraid. Yes, many are afraid of the pandemic itself, or the virus itself. But there's so many other, it's such a chain reaction. It's like a domino effect. One confidence is knocked down after the other, and people are going about at the end of themselves. No confidence, no certainty. Many Christians, many of us don't have very many things, but we have a certainty that is well with their soul. And that's a certainty that you need more than anything else tonight, unsafe person. No companion. God is gracious and good. And the sun rises and sets upon the righteous and the unrighteous and the just and the unjust. But he's a special companion to his people. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And do you have to face up to the fact tonight that you know nothing of this? But all along, All along through all of your Christ rejection, the Lord has been seeking your attention. Remember the point we're making, the attention sought. There's a man one time called Spencer Walton. He's probably best known as someone who was a missionary and an evangelist. I think he lived from 1850 to about 1906 or so. And he was saved when he was 22 years old. And he kept a journal. And in his journal, he said, "My first 22 years were spent as a hypocritical and a wasted life." He said, "I was spending my time hoping that somehow some of my works would be enough to save me." He knew that Christ was following after him and seeking his attention through meetings, seeking him out as the gospel was preached, just as I trust that you're aware of tonight, that he come to seek and to save that which is lost. And he seeks you first. And he's seeking you tonight. And he said that he was seeking me. And after his conversion, that man, Spencer Walton, he lived to the glory of God and made much of Christ for the rest of his life. And he wrote a lovely hymn. You and I know it. It begins like this: "In tenderness he sought me, sorrow and sick with sin, and on his shoulder brought me back to his fold again." And that's good news for the unsaved man or woman tonight, that Christ is still seeking you, and therefore this evening he is seeking your attention. And he wants you this evening, dear friend, to see sin not as a freedom or as a right, but to see it as bondage, to see it indeed as a prison house, as something which holds you fast in its grip. And tonight we would want you to get your eyes upon him, upon him who, while we were yet in our sin and without strength, he died for us, for he died for the ungodly. Look to his cross. See him there praying. See him paying the price for your sin. See him there procuring eternal redemption for all who, down through the ages of time, would ever trust him. And I wonder tonight, are you interested in freedom at last? Well, if you're interested in being free at last, there's freedom for you tonight if you will come to him as Spencer Walton did. Read an interesting story one time about how in the United States of America, in the early 1800s, George Wilson was one of two men who was sentenced to be executed for various crimes that the two men had committed. One man, I believe, had been executed, and President Andrew Jackson, he issued what was called a formal presidential decree, and essentially that was a pardon for Wilson. And the word came to Wilson, who was in prison waiting execution, that all of the charges were being dropped. And to the amazement of many of his family and many other people, Wilson said, "I refuse the pardon." People couldn't believe it. And a court was called, and the conclusion was come to that the court cannot give a prisoner the benefit of a pardon unless he claims the benefit of it. In other words, unless he accepts, and he didn't do it, and he was executed. And men and women, the Lord Jesus Christ offers full and free salvation to you tonight. "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. It's now. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as wool. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as snow." And the call to you is to come now. As you face up to the fact of original sin and the fact that stares you in the face every day, we call it actual transgression. As you consider it all tonight, And that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that pardon is offered to you. I wonder if you're going to take it. Are you going to receive that pardon? Are you going to leave the building still in darkness? Over in Galatians chapter 2 and in the verse 16 it says here, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. I don't know what you're holding on to. I don't know what you're hoping in. But I know this tonight, if you don't know the Lord Jesus, you're still held in your sin. But God, this Sunday evening in mercy, is looking down to just where you are, and he's seeking your attention. Is that not a humbling thought tonight, unsaved man and woman, boy or girl, that your attention is sought? The title of the message, Freedom at Last, and the Lord is seeking you tonight. I trust you'll listen on as we consider not just the attention sought, but if we look at that verse again, over there in Isaiah chapter 27, you will see the implication there. There is the affection shown. Those who blew the trumpet had the greater interest of those who would listen at heart. They wanted to signal to them that there was a better day. And again, that reminds us of what happens when we preach the gospel. Someone said that sin reigns as a despotic tyrant. It keeps the sinner in a state of hostility toward God, and that's an awful thought for unsaved people tonight. But the trumpet has sounded because God has a love for sinners. And at times, this trumpet blown was blown in the land. It was blown to announce peace. And the gospel preached that some of us have received has brought peace to our hearts. Peace with God and the peace of God. And I want you to know tonight that none of you who are unconverted are being left out here. Because God considers all of your need. He knows exactly where you are. And there may be those tonight who think, well, I've got emotional need. I am greatly troubled and I'm broken down. And he can bind you up. Didn't we read earlier over there about him coming to preach deliverance to the captives, to heal the brokenhearted? Spoke to a man one time in a meeting. He'd come to outside the church in the morning time, and some of the men were speaking to him. He was out on the road and he was on drugs. And we asked him to come at night. And he came back at night, and to cut a long story short, he was completely messed up. He was vomiting blood. Sorry for using those words in church, but just to tell you what was happening to him. Drugs had him destroyed. He'd come to the Lord. And men and women, that's what the Lord can do for messed up people tonight. He considers you just as you are. He considers the sinner's emotional need and how those who are greatly troubled because of sin, but he considers your spiritual need. I mentioned earlier, come to seek and to save that which is lost. And maybe in your life's experience, you're in a valley right now, and all of the supports that have been there for you and you've been leaning on them, as this year's gone by, they've fallen away. And you find yourself in a position where you need to look to someone, but you have really hardly anyone to look to. And you recognize that position in society and property and personal opinion are all futile when it comes to delivering you from the wrath of God, which will surely come. God tonight, he considers your spiritual need. He considers your eternal need. And of course, that brings us to his love expressed again in blood at the cross. Some people don't like to talk about blood, but without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. And we are justified, in the book of Romans tells us, by his blood. And if you want peace tonight, you need to be done with your false refuges. You need to turn away from them all. You need to seek him while he is to be found. And maybe you've done many things. You've made attempts at reformation and nothing has worked out, and you're left just in despair, not knowing really what to turn to next. Over there in Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, we read of the woman with the issue of blood. It says there in verse 43 of that chapter, there was a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. Nothing worked. I could bring you to people like that tonight, and they're trying things, but nothing's working. They don't like the word repentance. They don't like the word turn from your sin. And men and women, we just want to remind you tonight of the words of the lovely hymn that God loved the world. Point that now at the moment is the affection shown. God loved the world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall, salvation full at highest cost he offers free to all. There's very profound theology sometimes in children's hymns. And someone speaking to a well-known preacher many years ago, well, hadn't met the man before, and he knew they had been speaking, and they realized they're both saved men. And one man said to the preacher, he said, "What is your theology?" And he thought a moment and he looked at him and he said, My theology is Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." That's profound. And it's clear enough, men and women. And just as the trumpet in Cyrus's day called the captives to freedom, God in mercy and goodness is calling again tonight to you. I don't know who I'm speaking to, but he's calling to you. The attention sought. I wonder if he got your attention. The affection shown. But I want you to notice finally here the advantage stated. If you look back there in Isaiah 27, it says there, "And it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come which were ready to perish." They were ready to perish. The thought is here, of course, of being lost. The word perish, as we find it in this chapter, is an interesting word. It actually, the meaning behind the actual original word is, it refers to a child wandering in the fields. One who is away out on his own there. He has no one to care for him. He has no one to guide him. He has no one to shelter him. In other words, he's left entirely to himself. It's not a picture of the sinner. Those who are ready to perish. The Apostle Paul loved to encourage people, and he was right to do that. And writing to some, he was reminding them of what they were. And he said, "Ye were without Christ." And he went on to tell them that they were without God in the world. But now, you see, things had changed because they had come. They had turned their back on their sin and they had come. It says there in our verse tonight, "And they shall come." They shall come. It even mentions their outcasts, but that's all that we all were. The outcasts are brought in. And there's so many tonight that we know of, and maybe speaking to one just now, and they are ready to perish forever. Get a hold of that. To perish forever. And yet the gospel calls, the good news that Jesus saves. And sinner, what you need to do now is stop and realize the urgency of your case. Isaiah, in another chapter, he was the evangelical prophet, and he said, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth." The word "ho" means stop what you're doing. Stop and give me your attention. He said, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And ye that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Ye come buy wine and milk without money and without price." And I cannot urge upon you strongly enough your need to come. Maybe you're worn down by the tyranny of sin. You've explored many avenues, and it's all brought you disappointment. And I want to say tonight, I cannot force your hand. But I simply invite you, as the Lord does, to come. Someone I was reading about fairly recently said that neglectors and despisers of the gospel message are their own destroyers. Neglectors and despisers of the gospel message are their own destroyers. I wonder what tonight you're going to do with him. Maybe for this past while, there's been the thought in your heart, you would just love to feel freedom. Well, the title tonight is Free at Last. And freedom is found in our Lord Jesus Christ alone. An individual called William Newell was brought up by a good family. And when he got a little bit older, he caused them nothing but trouble. And constantly he was breaking their heart. And he was determined to do what he wanted. He was very strong-willed. And out and did his own thing, and his family just had to live with it. But in answer to prayer, William Newell was saved. And he wrote the words of that hymn that, again, we often sing, "Years I spent in vanity and pride. Caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary." And then the chorus says, "Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary." And that's where you need to get tonight. Free at Last is the title. The gospel trumpet is sounded again. God wants your attention. You're probably aware of his affection, that he loves a sinner. But what about the advantage shown here? Are you going to come? I trust the Lord will bless what I have said and use it tonight for his own glory and for your eternal welfare. May the Lord bless his word.